Glory to God.
Amen.
Hey, worship was wonderful.
Amen.
Yes.
Elwan was wonderful.
Amen.
Yes. Thank you, Brother Elwan.
Glory to God.
Thank you, Jesus. I titled this message, Superhuman. You ever thought of yourself that way?
No. Yes.
I know better.
Thank you, Lord. Father, take this word and just bless us with it. Open our hearts up. Lord, take your divine plow and cut into that crust that keeps the word from sinking in, and break up that ground, Lord. We thank you for this opportunity, and we thank you that you're here. So speak to our hearts, Lord. Minister to us in our spirit, soul, and body.
Amen.
And we give you thanks for that.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, use me as your vessel and pour through me in Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
Amen.
Been somewhat of a stressful week anticipating Hurricane Laura. So I thought I'd start this morning with just a little bit of humor. I couldn't find any real good humor, so I just got a little bit of humor. Hoping to develop a son's character, his son's character, father gave his son a $20 bill and a $1 bill as he was dropping them off for children's church. After church, the father asked him which bill he had put in the offering. The boy said, well, just before they passed the bucket, Mrs. Jones said, God loves a cheerful giver. I knew I could give the dollar bill a lot more cheerfully than I could give the 20. Amen. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 through 48. Let's go there in a minute. And I'm reading out of the NIV today. Holler when you're there if you're looking this up.
Amen.
Amen. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Verse 45, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and unrighteous. Verse 46, if you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? Verse 47, and if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Verse 48, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect.
Amen.
This is one of the most explosive and hard teachings of Jesus' record that he recorded in the scripture. Jesus tells us that not only are we capable of living a life in a more significant and power-filled way than others, but he expects us to do so. Jesus calls on his children to be more than just regular folk. He wants us to be superhuman.
Glory.
Brother and sister, our lives are to have superhuman effects. Listen, Christians are the salt of the earth, the light of the world, a city set on a hill for all to see. Like salt, you are to alter the flavor of your city, your family, your school, or your job. Your life should be so different from everyone else's that it stands out like a lighthouse on a black sea.
Right.
As a parent, it's up to you to influence your children in a positive way. If you're an employer, your behavior should help improve your employees' work ethic. Students, your peers should be different from the norm just by being around you. Jesus tells his followers to turn the other cheek. Give more than what has been asked, and even love their enemies. If they ask you to go a mile, go 2 miles. If they want your coat, give them your overcoat also. How many of us can acknowledge that this is not the norm in today's society? Far from it, folks. Far from it. And yet this is the very response Jesus requires from his followers. So when we are reproached, we give a gentle answer. When someone is mean, we return kindness. When we are accused, we keep silent. God's people should never consider getting even with revenge or fighting for our rights. But we are to accept an injustice and never, ever offend. Brothers and sisters, this requires an ability, a power beyond ourselves.
That's right.
Amen.
We must admit that it is impossible for us to do this. However, when you and I get in tune with the Holy Spirit, we begin to value others as God does. We begin to see the value of a soul, especially through the perspective of eternity. Selfishness is as foreign to Christianity as an alien from another planet. The true Christian lives to do good to others and serve them. They look upon immoral and misguided people, not with judgmental eyes, but with redemptive eyes. Instead of hating our personal enemies, we do them kindness. Because when we were yet sinners, enemies of God, Christ died for
Amen.
Us.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
What a Savior.
Hallelujah. Thank you, God.
What a Savior. Jesus' teaching is that our religion is worth little if we don't demonstrate the higher life of God and love more than the average person. Let me give you some other translations of what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5. Vivian, you don't have these, but from the Christian Standard Bible, it says, "What are you doing out of the ordinary?" Contemporary English version, "What's so great about? What are you doing?" Phillips, "Are you doing anything exceptional?" The Message, "What are you doing? Anybody can do that." New Living Translation, "How are you any different?" The Worldwide English Translation says, "You are not doing anything better than other people. Even people who do not believe in God do that." The question is, are we any different than those around us? Are we standing out by our exemplary words and behavior? Can people sense something different around us and around others than around others? Now, the Bible tells us that we are more than conquerors, but oftentimes we don't feel like it. We wake up Monday morning, we look in the mirror, and instead of saying, "Good morning, Lord," we say, "Good Lord, it's morning." The person in the mirror in no way resembles some sort of champion. Right? We've got challenges on every side. We've got more to do than we can ever get done. Like one fellow said, I've heard that you won't die until you finish the work that the Lord has for you. In that case, I'm so far behind that I don't think I'll ever die.
Amen.
Now, you know, people in the Bible were just like you and me, yet they became so inspired that they determined not to settle for normal living. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 33 and 34, it says, by faith, and talking about those people in the Bible, it says, by faith they conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouth of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Wow. They were superhuman. They were superhuman because they walked daily with the superhuman God.
Amen. Hallelujah.
The first church set the standard. The world had never seen such love. Jesus said in John chapter 13 and verse 35, he said, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. In Acts chapter 2, verse 44 and 45, it says, all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had a need. Love was not simply a feeling that they felt for each other, but a total commitment. Love was a verb. It was an action. Greek writer Lucian, from AD 120 to AD 200, that's a long time ago, he made this observation. It is incredible to see the fervor with which those people help each other in their wants. They spare nothing. Their first legislator, Jesus, has put it into their heads that they are brothers and family. Tertullian, an early Christian, said this, it is our care for the helpless, our practice of loving kindness, that brands us in the eyes of many of our opponents. Look, they say, how they love one another. Look how they are prepared to die for one another. Paul captured the attitudes toward others when he wrote in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 12 and 13. He said this, we work hard with our own hands. When we are cursed, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure it. When we are slandered, we answer kindly. We have become the scum of the earth, the garbage of the world, right up to this moment. Why? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now let's compare that to the modern church. George Barna, a Christian pollster, did a study that asked people to use single words to describe Jesus. They responded this way, wise, accepting, compassionate, gracious, humble. Then Barna asked them to use single words to describe Christians. And they said, critical, exclusive, self-righteous, narrow, and repressive. Mahatma Gandhi, I like to say this, Mahatma Gandhi. This is what he said. I like your Christ. I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ. If Christians would really live according to the teachings of Christ as found in the Bible, all of India would be Christian today. Wow. I don't think this characterizes all Christians by any means, but it certainly does many. But instead of being defensive about these accusations, we should examine ourselves to see if there's any truth in this criticism for you and me. Do we have the same spirit of love that Jesus had? Have we died with Christ? We no longer live, but Christ lives in us. Is self-sacrifice for the good of others our daily inspiration? The famous artist Gustav Dore was traveling from one country to another in Europe when he lost his passport, which was required to be shown by every traveler. Trying to cross into the next country, he said to the border agent, "I'm sorry, but I've lost my passport. I'm the artist Gustav Dore. I hope you will let me pass." "Oh," said the officer, "you can't deceive me. Many people try to pass through claiming they are some famous person." But Dore declared he actually was the famous artist. The border agent responded, "We'll soon see if you're the famous painter. Here's a pencil and paper. You see that group of tourists? Make a sketch of them for me." The great artist did, and so lifelike was the sketch that the officer immediately was convinced and let him pass through. Listen, folks, his identity was proven by his nature. A tree is known by its fruit. Do you have the fruit of Jesus? We have talked so much in the past about the fruit that the Holy Spirit produces in our lives, about the power that's available through the Spirit, and how we can do anything as we surrender to the leading of the Spirit. So undoubtedly, we are equipped to do anything. Amen? We are equipped to do anything that God calls us to do, and that includes living like a superhuman. Amen. Now, let me give you four reasons why we can live a more superhuman life. God really does expect more from you and me because we have received so much more than the unbeliever.
Yes.
That's the truth.
Amen.
First of all, we've been born from above.
Thank you, Lord.
We've been born from above. In John chapter 3 and verse 5, it says, "Jesus answered, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless you're born of water and the Spirit." You are a child of the mighty God. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2, it says, "Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is."
Hallelujah.
In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, the King James declares that we are partakers of the divine nature. God has placed his Holy Spirit within us. Each creature in this world reproduces after its own kind. We know that life originates at the genetic level. So God has put the genes of God in you.
Amen.
The genes of God. Now listen to this. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 9, this ought to set somebody's heart on fire right now. 1 John chapter 3, verse 9, it calls this seed. It's the Greek word sperma.
Amen.
Listen, folks, you're not a normal mortal.
New creation.
Hallelujah.
You are a new creation.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Amen. 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 Fish love water. Groundhogs love dirt. Birds love the air. Amen. That's their nature. But with you and I, God's divine nature has been implanted within us.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory, glory, glory.
Let me give you an illustration. kind of hokey illustration, but it gets the point across, okay?
Come on.
I get hokey once in a while.
Come on.
Thank you, Bonnie. A man accidentally shot a mother eagle. He remembered that he had seen a nest in a tree. So he climbed the tree and he found an eagle egg. He got it, put it in his chicken coop under a chicken. The eagle grew up among chickens. It acted like a chicken. Scratched the dirt, picked at the seeds, and it made a clucking sound. The man wondered if it would ever begin acting like an eagle. Months passed by. One day a norther was blowing in and it had gigantic clouds with it. High among the clouds soared a mighty eagle, sounding a great cry. The eagle on the ground immediately experienced a transformation. Immediately. It reasserted itself. Its original nature reasserted itself. It spread its wings and with its own cry joined the eagle in the clouds. Hallelujah. Amen. Now listen, the same type of fate has befallen us. We have an eagle nature.
Hallelujah.
But we have been living and dwelling with chickens.
Amen.
Don't accept the life of a chicken when you're an eagle.
Amen.
Greater is he who is in you than he that's in the world.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Don't accept being a chicken.
Amen.
Just because you hear it all the time.
Right.
Just because you dwell with them. You work with them. You talk with them. You're not a chicken, you're an eagle.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Believers must never say, I can't overcome that habit. I can't live for God. That's not true. You have the sperma of God in you.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes,
thank you, Jesus. Depend on God's power. Strive after the life that Jesus made available. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All things. Amen. The second reason we can live a more powerful life is because Jesus gives us strength.
Amen.
Gives us strength. Most often we Christians will reach the end of our inadequate personal resources before we tap into that phenomenal resource we call prayer.
Right.
Saints, God is waiting to hear from you and me. He wants to aid and assist you, but he's also waiting for you to call on him. He will always hear and answer your prayers. In Psalm 50, verse 15, the Bible reassures us. He says, and call on me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and honor you.
Amen.
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 It also declares our God is mighty to save. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. Do not shrink back. Remember, God is able to do far more than we can ask or think. The third reason we can live a superhuman life is because of our gratitude for God's love. It inspires us. There's no greater love than a man lay down his life for his friend. That's exactly what Jesus did for his disciples and for each one of us.
Amen.
When we consider the tremendous price that was paid for our salvation, the depth of love that was shown through the Father's gift, how can we not be motivated to strive for that higher life exemplified by Jesus? The Father gave up his only begotten Son just to watch him suffer and die on our behalf. Wow. We owe a debt of gratitude to Jesus for all he's done. Amen?
Yes.
Are you willing to suffer for him? Are you willing to lay down your life and follow his example as you live by the power of the Holy Spirit? And as you give your life in sacrificial service to your King, he will certainly use you to do great and mighty things in his name. And the last reason we can live the higher life is because God promises us a great reward. A great reward. God has not only given us much, he's also promised us much.
Amen.
Saints, we are looking for a city of gold. Mansions that'll make Donald Trump's personal residence look like a beggar's hut.
Amen.
Amen. The word teaches us that we will enjoy a new body.
Woohoo!
Thank you.
I'm looking forward to it. A body that will last forever and ever and ever.
Hallelujah.
Perfect. We've also been guaranteed pleasures that will pale anything this world has to offer. In short, we're promised a great reward. It is understandable why non-believers wouldn't want to sacrifice any of their earthly pleasures. The here and now is all they have to enjoy. We've got something much greater coming, folks.
Amen.
Much, much greater. They do not understand, nor do they anticipate the joy and the riches of heaven. But for us who have such an incredible future, any sacrifices we make during our 70 or more years here are like trading peanuts for pearls.
Yes.
What's a petty cash sacrifice for a multi-billion dollar reward?
Glory, hallelujah.
Upgrade.
Glory, hallelujah.
Saints, we not only have the assurance of a reward in heaven, but we know that God surely blesses his children when they're willing to obey his call.
That's right.
Yes,
right.
Amen.
So it's time to step out in superhuman faith, because you can make a profound difference in your world. Each one of us can make a profound difference in the circle of people that are around us. Our influence.
Hallelujah.
Our sphere of influence.
Hallelujah.
I want to share another story about Gustav Dore, the famous painter. He was putting the finishing touches on the face of Christ in one of his paintings as a close friend entered his studio and was watching as he finished the painting. She finally said with admiration, "Gustav, you must love Jesus very much to be able to paint such a likeness of him." The painter Dore, he answered, he said, "Yes, I do love him, but if I loved him better, I'd be able to paint him better."
Yeah.
So I want to ask you, how many of you want to show your love for Jesus more profoundly?
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes, hallelujah.
How many of you will make yourselves available to allow God's omnipotent power to work through your life to demonstrate the love of God to others?
Help me, Lord.
Amen. And one more thing before we close. What can you do this week that no one but a Christian would do? What can you do this week that no one but a Christian would do?
Thank you, Lord.
Let's stand together.
For Jesus.
Hallelujah. For Jesus, you call on us to make a difference. Lord, I thank you put that in the heart of every believer. When we just think, when we meditate on your love for us in our future hope, Lord, and then we think about the ones, many times our loved ones, who are lost, they're undone, they have no hope. Lord, I know that inside of us, we want to make a difference. There's a saying around that we on this earth are little Jesuses running to and fro. Jesus made a difference wherever he went. Sometimes it was the words he spoke were profound. Sometimes he did things. Fed 5,000 people that had no place to get food. So many miracles we find in those four Gospels. And Lord, you're calling us to represent him on this earth. And you even put your power, your Holy Spirit inside of us so that we can operate in the way that you ask us to do. Lord, we've all been in positions where we just want to knock the person that's talking to us. We just want to hit them. We just want to hurt them. But you called us to turn that other cheek. To turn away wrath with a soft answer. To do the thing that's not normal.
Help us, Lord.
And Lord, if you want us to do that, I know that you've equipped us to do that.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, you're the peace maker, the peace speaker, the peace bringer. And you use us to bring peace into every situation. Lord, I've walked into rooms before and people have said that very thing.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
That was you, not me, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes.
So, Lord, as Christians, as we walk this walk, and I think right now it's even more important than it's ever been in our lives, Lord, to be that Christian witness. People are really getting frustrated. And we can bring a calm in this storm, Lord.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
Lord, use us as your instruments. You know, we think about that, and we think about how we can heal the sick, and we can have miracles done because we speak it with authority and those kind of things. And that's all part of our Christian walk, but sometimes it's just bringing peace into a situation. Use us, Lord. Use us even today. Lord, we look for a great week. Lord, we've got air in our lungs, our feet are on the floor. We can put a smile on our face. Maybe hidden right now. Pastor Glenn said a smile in our eyes. We can do that. So Lord, just equip us for what you're calling us to do this week. And we praise your holy name. We thank you for today. We pray for protection, Lord God. Minister to us spiritually, emotionally, physically. And let us make a difference in this world. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Bump elbows or fists. And we love you. I love each and every one of you. God bless you.